Mr. President, I move further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with and Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is the Reverend Phil Shaw, a former Senate chaplain from St. Michael's, Minnesota, and then remains standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
How are you? Good to see you. Good to see you. Come on. Senators, just let me say something before I pray this morning. Listen. When I lead in prayer and use the words we and us, it's my hope that as a senator, you're joining me in prayer. And what I say is coming from your heart as well. And I'm not here just to pray for you. I'm here to pray with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, history and experience have given us evidence of the need of your guidance for our country and to the individuals who lead us. In 9/11, the Boston Marathon, you have heard our cry. And now we come to you asking for your help in the decisions we make for the people of Minnesota. And consequently, we should never doubt your power and your willingness to give us directions. And give us the faith to believe that what you want us to do or not to do, that you will find a way to let us know. And do not let us make it more difficult for you to guide us, but let us be willing to be led by you, so that your will may be done through us, for the good of our country, for the good of the state of Minnesota, and the people we represent. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. God bless you.
Go turn around.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of one nation.
Thank you.
Nice message. Thank you. Very
thank you.
Take your notes, sir. And
thank you.
In case we call you back a couple years from now.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bonhoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Dames, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fischbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebrigtsen, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Kunin, Latz, Limmer, Lori, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Ortman, Osmick, Pappas, Peterson J, Peterson B, Pratt, Reinert, Rest, Rosen, Rude, Saxhog, Scalzi, Schmidt, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Rieger, and Wickland.
Quorum is present. Messages from the House.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file number 359, a bill for an act relating to state government, designating the month of April as Genocide Awareness and Prevention Month. Senate file number 359 is herewith returned to the Senate, signed Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 359 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. And the language can be found in House Journal, April 23rd, page 3859, and the Senate language is in the Senate Journal of March 18th, page number 1186.
Okay, Senator Pappas, you're going to tell the body what the changes were made in the
Thank you, Madam President. The House did some editing. This is the Genocide Awareness Month legislation, and the House did some editing and combined the second to the last and the last sentence to read, "The state declares that in order to educate the public and help prevent future genocides, the governor may promote and encourage the observance of Genocide Awareness and Prevention Month." And I think that's perfectly fine, members, and I would appreciate your support.
Any discussion on Senate File 359? Any discussion? Seeing none, Secretary, or on the motion first. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File number 359, a bill for an act relating to state government designating the month of April as Genocide Awareness and Prevention Month.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted. Senator Ingebrigtsen. Desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 59 ayes, 2 nays, the bill is passed and title agreed to. Continuing in on messages from the House.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House files number 791 and 1304, signed Alvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Next order of business, fourth order of business is first reading of House bills.
House file number 791, a bill for an act relating to insurance, regulating annuity products, enacting and modifying a model regulation adopted by the National Association of Insurance Commissioners relating to suitability in annuity transactions.
First reading, and they'll be referred to the Committee on Rules. Our next order of business is reports of committees. Excuse me, there's one more to be read.
Madam President, House file number 1304, a bill for an act relating to transportation, amending regulations governing school bus use for special events.
First reading. And the bill will be sent to the Rules Committee for comparison. Next order of business is reports of committee. Senator Bach.
Mr. President, I move the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Sixth order of business will be second reading of Senate bills. Second reading. Next order of business, second reading of House bills. There's three on schedule today. No objection. Second reading of House bills. Introduction and first reading of Senate bills. They will be referred to the committees as indicated. Under motions and resolutions, there are two resolutions. Without objection, they'll be sent to the Rules Committee. Senator Bach.
Mr. President, I move for a recess of the Senate. The Majority Caucus will caucus in room 107. Let's come back about 1 o'clock.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, and the Republicans will caucus in room 112.
The motion is to recess. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess.
Call be dispensed with, and the Sergeant at Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. The motion prevails. The Sergeant at Arms will bring in the absent members. Reverting to reverting to the fifth order of business, reports of committees. Secretary will read the report.
Senator Scoy from the Committee on Taxes, to which was referred Senate File Number 552, a bill for an act relating to taxation, providing for tax law modernization and reform, establishing a property tax rebate, reducing state business property tax, etc., reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill be amended as follows, and when so amended, the bill do pass.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the committee report read by the Secretary be adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. The motion prevails. We're now going to the sixth order of business, second reading of Senate bills. Senate File 552, second reading. Senator Bach.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate that the following bills be made special orders for immediate consideration. And members, the list is on your desk.
The first bill on special orders is number 92 on general orders, House File 748. Senator Dietzick.
Thank you, Madam President and members. Before you is Senate File 602. This bill clarifies the rights and responsibilities of workers and employers regarding wage issues when an employment relationship ends. It specifies the rate that a worker should be paid and details the process to collect that payment. It states that a worker demanding owed final wages must make that claim in writing, and if the employer does not respond in a timely manner, the worker may collect a penalty if they are owed wages. The penalty is equal to the worker's average daily earnings for up to 15 days. The language in the bill was negotiated between labor and the chamber and reviewed by the Department of Labor and Industry to reduce unintended consequences. I want to thank Mr. Dan McConnell from the Building Trades, Mr. Justin Cummins from National Employment Lawyers Association, Mr. Ben Gerber from the chamber, and Jessica Lumen from Dolly for their work on this bill. This bill will help many workers and clarifies the process for employers. Thank you, Madam President and members. I ask for your support and stand for questions.
Discussion of House File 748. Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 748 its third reading.
House File Number 748, a bill for an act relating to employment, modifying prompt payment of wages requirements.
Secretary will take the roll. Committee. And needs to vote. All members having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 60 ayes and 2 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is number 2 on general orders, House File 19, Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. This bill involves a bill that was brought to me by the Minnesota State Bar Association involving multi-party accounts. And to begin with, if I may, Madam President, I would offer the A1 amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Newman moves to amend House File Number 19 as amended pursuant to Rule 45 adopted by the Senate April 18, 2013 as follows. The text of the amended House file is identical to Senate File Number 94, page 1 after line 10, insert. And this is the A1 amendment.
Senator Newman, if you'd explain your amendment.
Thank you, Madam President. The A1 amendment is primarily some minor and technical changes that were included at the request of the Bankers Association and some credit unions. It clarifies that an agent in the bill is not a party to the account. It rearranges a couple of these sections and then clarifies that this particular account can be utilized by a single party or a multi-party account. Madam President, other than that, this bill is, or other than that, the amendment would be as passed out of the judiciary.
Discussion on the A1 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor of the A1 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. Then, if I may, I would offer the A2 amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Newman moves to amend House File Number 19 as amended pursuant to Rule 45 adopted by the Senate April 18, 2013 as follows. Page 1 after line 6, insert, and this is the A2 amendment.
Senator Newman, will you explain your amendment?
Thank you, Madam President. If you will recall, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had a bill on the floor, came off of the consent calendar, and involved an issue of mailing for purposes of filing with the Minnesota Tax Court. This amendment amends that Senate bill in identical language that we passed off of the Senate floor into House File 19, and all I am trying to do, Madam President, is get our language in the Senate matched up with the language in the House. Other than that, Madam President, the language in the A2 amendment is identical language to what we have already passed.
On the motion to amend through the A2 amendment, all those in favor, or is there any discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. To the bill, this is a bill that in which we are trying to primarily assist elderly individuals when folks want to be added, or when they want to add folks to their account for purposes of helping them pay bills. In the past, you know, we have accounts where we would add an individual for the convenience of the elderly individual to help pay bills, and they would then become an owner of that account. We have accounts where there is a joint ownership with right of survivorship, which determines who gets the money in the event of a death. And what this bill does is would enable credit unions and banks to create a new type of an account where the agent would effectively take the same type of a role, or assume the same type of a role as that of an individual who has received a power of attorney signed by the elderly individual, but wouldn't necessarily have to go to an attorney and have that document drafted. And the biggest difference is that the agent who is appointed on this particular account has no beneficial interest in the proceeds of the account and is required under certain fiduciary rules to act in the best interest of the owner of the account, and it would be my belief that for the most part that would be the elderly parent. So I think in real life what you're going to see is this type of an account being used by elderly individuals where their adult children or someone who is trusted by them would step forward, become a signatory on that account and be able to pay their bills, but does not become a beneficiary or an owner of that account. And in some respects, I will tell you that will in fact benefit and protect the elderly person from such things as creditors, or if say the IRS or the Department of Revenue would take the position that they have a claim against the adult child, that account would then be protected from any kind of an attachment or proceeds of a creditor of the adult child, because it's simply an agency account. Pretty straightforward bill, and what it is designed to do is to help and protect vulnerable adults. Thank you, Madam President.
Further discussion on House File 19. Senator Clausen.
Thank you, Madam President. Will Senator Newman yield?
Senator Newman, do you yield? He yields. Senator Clausen.
Thank you, Madam President. A question, will this impede in any way the settlement of an estate when it eliminates perhaps the signer, co-signer, an adult child, when they need to settle the estate in the event of a death?
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. The answer is no. There are certain triggering devices which terminates the agency relationship within this account, and death is one of them.
Further discussion on House File 19. Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 19 its third reading.
House File Number 19, a bill for an act relating to accounts, allowing agency designations in certain situations, providing form language.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 19. All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 64 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is number 95 on general orders, House File 283. Senator Wicklund.
Thank you, Madam President. And first, I understand happy birthday is in order for the President. Birthday wishes to you. I do have a motion to make before I present the bill. I move that the amendment made to House File Number 283 by the Committee on Rules and Administration and the report adopted April 18, 2013, pursuant to Rule 45, be stricken.
On the motion. All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Wicklund.
Thank you. Speaking now on the bill, House File Number 283, in Minnesota, we have in place the ability to resolve disputes by using the collaborative law process. And we have significant use of that practice.
Excuse
in Minnesota.
Me, Senator Wicklund. There's too much conversation in the chamber. If you need to have a private conversation, please go out in the hall or in the retiring room if you're a member. Senator Wicklund.
Thank you, Madam President. We have significant use of collaborative law process in Minnesota, but there's a piece missing in Minnesota law that, and that is that to provide an evidentiary privilege to bar the use in court litigation of communications made in the collaborative law process. Today, the statute contains language regarding mediation, but not collaborative law. This bill simply adds collaborative law to the statute that provides evidentiary privilege to communications made in the mediation process. Mediation is the more traditional dispute resolution process, and it is in many ways the forerunner of collaborative law. Privilege and candor is equally necessary when parties and their lawyers are trying to reach agreement through collaborative law. So what this bill does is add in the paragraph regarding mediation. Evidentiary privilege is also going to be applied to collaborative law. This bill would assure those using the collaborative law process that evidentiary privilege will apply to communications and agreements as it does for communications and agreements from the mediation process today. I urge your support of House File 283. Thank you.
Discussion of House File 283. Seeing none, Secretary will give House File 283 its third reading.
House File number 283, a bill for an act relating to evidence, limiting availability of certain evidence arising from a collaborative law process.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 283. All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 64 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Next bill on special orders is number 38 on general orders, House File 669, Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise in support of House File 669. Members, when a traffic accident causing multiple injuries occurs.
Excuse me, Senator Jensen, once again. It's too much noise in the chamber. Please take your conversations outside.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam President. When a traffic accident causing multiple injuries occurs, when a child is reported as missing, lost, or abducted, a major fire requiring assistance from several fire departments, law enforcement agencies, and medical help are required, a rapid, coordinated response is necessary to save lives and limit the damage to property. That is why Minnesota has been working to establish a statewide radio communication system to help cities, counties, and the state to coordinate resources and respond to emergencies quickly and efficiently. It's the division of the Emergency Communication Network within the Minnesota Department of Public Safety that has been managing two critical public safety communication networks that provide the responses we need in an emergency. They're the 911 network and the statewide shared radio communications network. Each one of these programs has embarked on ambitious projects to update our outmoded and problematic technology. What this bill does is it assists the Division of Emergency Communication Network with requirements like the upgrade to meet FCC requirements and the need to accommodate wireless technologies. By 2014, the FCC also requires us to provide a way for deaf and hard of hearing to text 911 by 2014. What this bill does is it takes the statewide radio board, which was originally created in 2004 to oversee the development and operation of the armor system, to now include all emergency communications and become the statewide emergency communications board. This is the next step towards our goal, emergency communications that work together throughout and across the state. It also meets the need of the public and the operational and technical standards that ensure the immediate and accurate emergency response that we need for our 911 requests. This bill also allows federally recognized tribal governments at their request to be integrated into the regional radio board structure. I do have an amendment that I would like to offer.
Secretary will report the amendment.
A50.
Senator Jensen moves to amend House File Number 669 as follows, page 6 after line 9, insert. And this is the A50 amendment.
Senator Jensen on the A50 amendment.
Thank you, Madam President. This amendment was originally a bill that I offered, Senate File 1061, that did not receive a hearing. But what the amendment does is it requires the statewide radio board that I was just talking about to study the long-term funding strategies for the statewide public safety communications for both the Armor and the 911 systems. They would evaluate the system's needs and upgrades and the operating costs. What my understanding is that this study would be absorbed by the department and there would be no fiscal implications. I would request your support on this amendment.
Discussion of the A50 amendment. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. Would the author yield for a question on the amendment?
Senator Jensen, do you yield? She yields. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator, could you tell me what this costs, this additional amendment here? I know there's been a lot of discussion going on since 2004 with regards to 911 and Armor system. Being part of that myself, what is this additional cost going to be? And I guess my question is, if it didn't receive a hearing, I'm just wondering why. I don't know if this is the right place to ask that, but I'm just curious as to why it didn't.
Senator Jensen.
Madam President, Senator Ingebrigtsen. I'm not sure why it didn't get a hearing. I requested one, but it was heard in the House and it was approved in the House. What I've been told by the department is that the statewide radio board receives a $1 million appropriation, and the approximate cost of $50,000 would be utilized through the use of that appropriation.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, anything further? Senator Escoy.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise to support this amendment. We've had a number of discussions over the years about how we're going to pay for the build-out of Armor across the state. It's a very complicated issue because of the number of different funding streams that have gone into Armor. There have been federal grants, there have been state grants, and there have been sales tax exemptions, and there hasn't been any uniformity to it. I think it'd be a very good idea to take a look at that and see if we can bring some commonality to the funding on this. It's important for our state to have this build out, but we want to treat all the jurisdictions fairly.
Further discussion of the A50 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor of the A50 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Further discussion of House File 669. Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam President. I just would like to comment that this bill does not affect the 911 fee, and because the department is absorbing the costs associated with the bill, there's no fiscal impact. It's also supported by the statewide and regional boards, Minnesota Sheriff's Association, the Minnesota Police Chiefs, Minnesota Fire Chiefs, Minnesota Ambulance Association, the Metropolitan Emergency Service Board, and the public safety professional organizations, and obviously by myself, and I encourage members to vote green on this as well.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. And would the author yield for one more question?
Senator Jensen, do you yield? She does. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President, and Senator, for that. Back up to section, I think I had it here. Other emerging music planning and coordination, section 3.13, starting there with regards to the Native Americans. Now, knowing again that they've been part of the process, or at least the regional process, I'm sorry, it's section 4.1, that particular section. So what this will do then, I understand it, because I know they had been at the table for, I think since the inception of the meetings that were going on. What this will do will allow the counties in to enter in an agreement with the Indian tribes within their jurisdictions to be able to dispatch for 911, because I know that some of the tribal folks do their own dispatching of their own units. But this would give the counties the opportunity to, or is this requiring that?
Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Ingebrigtsen, my understanding is this would be totally voluntary by the tribal units, and they would be able to join in the joint powers agreement if they would like to.
Further discussion of House File 669. Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 669 its third reading.
House File Number 669, a bill for an act relating to public safety, expanding and updating the authority of the statewide radio board to include the latest emergency communication technologies.
Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is number 98 on general orders, House File 1378, Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam President. President, what this bill does, House File 1378, is to create a new job class for 5 staff attorney positions in the Workers' Compensation Court of Appeals. This is the same job classification that's used for workers' compensation attorneys at the Department of Labor and Industry, as well as the Office of Administrative Hearings. More specifically, the bill moves the authority to appoint staff attorneys from individual judges to the chief judge, acting with the approval of at least 2 other judges, changes the classification of future hires from the unclassified appeals court attorney to a classified compensation attorney, and allows the changes to be phased in so no judge is required to give up their current staff attorney. This will provide attorneys at all 3 workers' compensation agencies the opportunity to apply for open positions at any of these agencies. It'll create a pool of attorneys with wider experience and knowledge, which will be a better resource for the system as a whole. It'll also make it easier for the Workers' Compensation Court of Appeals to attract even more qualified and experienced attorneys to fill future vacancies. The Workers' Compensation Court of Appeals is funded 100% from the Special Compensation Fund. The new job class is to be phased in and doesn't require any salary increases. I'd appreciate your support.
Discussion of House File 1378. Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 1378 its third reading.
House File Number 1378, a bill for an act relating to workers' compensation, modifying Workers' Compensation Court of Appeals personnel provisions.
The Secretary will take the roll on House File 1378. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Staying on motion, Senator Bach, did you want to make a motion?
Madam President, I move we take up the confirmation calendar.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. The motion prevails. Senator Sharon.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the report from the Committee on Health and Human Services and Housing, reported on January 31st, 2013, be pertaining to two appointments to the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency, be taken from the table.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed? No.
Thank you.
Motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed? No. The motion prevails. Senator Sharon.
Thank you. These are confirmations for the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency. For the body's information, the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency's mission is to finance affordable housing for low and moderate income households while fostering strong communities. The Minnesota Housing Finance Agency does its work to accomplish five strategies: promoting and supporting successful home ownership, preserving federally subsidized rental housing, addressing specific and critical needs in rental housing markets, preventing and ending homelessness, and preventing foreclosures and supporting community recovery. The board is comprised of six citizens appointed by the governor on 4-year staggered terms. State Auditor Rebecca Otto is an ex officio member. Three of the board members are from Greater Minnesota, and three are from the metro area. We are in front of you today to confirm Stefan Klinzing, Gloria Bostrom, John DeKramer, Steve Johnson, and Kenneth Johnson. I would move that in concordance with the report from the Committee on Health and Human Services and Housing, reported January 31st, 2013, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm these appointments.
On the motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails, and the appointments are confirmed. Senator Sharon.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the report from the Committee on Health and Human Services and Housing, reported January 31st, 2013, pertaining to appointments to the Emergency Medical Services Regulatory Board, be taken from the table.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. The motion prevails.
Thank you. I move that the foregoing report now be adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. The motion prevails.
Thank you very much. Members, the Emergency Medical Services Regulatory Board was established by the Minnesota Legislature in 1995 and began its operations in 96. The board's mission is to protect the public's health and safety through regulation and support of the EMS system. The board's primary customers are members of the public, EMS employers, applicants, licensees, education programs, and agencies of local and state and federal governments. The board certifies 30,500 pre-hospital care personnel across five certification levels, with the most recent addition, the community paramedic program that we've heard about so much this year. There are 19 members in the Emergency Medical Services Regulatory Board. Each of them serve 4-year terms. 9 of those members are up for confirmation today, and they are Jennifer DeShane, Matthew Simpson. Jennifer DeShane is the local Board of Health representative. Matthew Simpson is the fire chief representative. Dr. Mari Thomas is the family practice physician representative. Jill Ryan Schultz is an EMT paramedic representative. Kelly Spratt is the Minnesota Hospital representative. Elizabeth Concy is a professional firefighter. Steve DeShane is a volunteer firefighter. Dr. Paul Finkhocken is a pediatrician representative. And Dr. Paul Satterley is an emergency physician representative. And I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Health, Human Services, and Housing, reported January 31st, 2013, that the Senate, having given its advice, now do consent and confirm the appointment of these candidates.
On the motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails and the appointments are confirmed. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the report from the Committee on State and Local Government reported January 31st, 2013, pertaining to appointments to the Metropolitan Council be taken from the table.
On that motion, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Senator Pappas.
Madam President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam President. I just want to list the appointees to the Metropolitan Council. Those are Stephen Chavez from Egan, who is the Director of Public Advocacy for Integrated Governance Solutions with experience in corporate governance and risk management issues. John Cummers from St. Paul, who founded a consulting firm called Donjek and has over 15 years of experience in public finance and public project management in the Twin Cities. John Dewan from Blaine, who is an associate with SRF Consulting Group and a registered professional engineer. Adam Dunick from Minneapolis, who was previously an advisor to Governor Dayton and served on the Met Council's Transportation Strategic Management Task Force. Stephen Elkins from Bloomington, a member of the Bloomington City Council, active in issues of land use and affordable housing. Richard Kramer from the City of St. Paul was a planning commissioner and active with transportation and planning issues in the Northeast Corridor. Jennifer Munt from Minnetonka, President of Transit for Livable Communities and former Communications Director for Hiawatha Light Rail. Edward Reynoso from Ham Lake, active on a number of, over nine public boards, including the Governor's Workforce Development Council and the Unemployment Advisory Council. Sandra Rummel from White Bear Lake, former state senator for White Bear Lake and active in issues of water quality and usage. Roxanne Smith from Champlin, director of social justice ministry for St. Joseph the Worker and active in regional issues of affordable housing and natural resource preservation. And so, members, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on State and Local Government reported January 13, 2013, the Senate, having given its advice, to now consent to and confirm the appointments of these individuals to the Metropolitan Council.
Madam President.
Excuse me for a moment. Senator Pappas, the in your first motion, you referred to January 31st, 2013, and in your last motion, you referred to January 13th, and I was wondering if one of those is a typo.
Madam President, it looks like it must be a typo, because it should be, I assume it should be January 31st.
So I'll amend your motion
to
strike 13 and add and insert 31 on the motion.
Madam President,
Senator Hahn.
I don't know if it was clarified in the motion or not, but how long are these appointments? What is the duration, the term for the appointments?
Would you like Senator Pappas to yield?
If she has the answer to the question, then yes.
Senator Pappas, do you yield?
I yield. Senator Hahn, I believe the appointments are 4 years, and they're staggered, so there are a number of council members that are not up for confirmation that have already been confirmed previously.
And
Senator Hahn?
Madam President, and I'm not as familiar as maybe some others in the body, but looks like we have 10 council members being appointed, and the total number on the Metropolitan Council, what is the total number?
Madam President?
Senator Hahn asked Senator Pappas to yield. Senator Pappas, she yields. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam President. There are 16 districts plus the chair.
Okay. Thank you.
Further comment? On Senator Pappas's motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Motion prevails and the appointments are confirmed. Senator Pappas.
Madam President, I move that the report from the Committee on State and Local Government, reported January 31, 2013, pertaining to appointments to the Gambling Control Board, be taken from the table.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Senator Pappas.
I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion prevails.
Madam President.
Senator Pappas.
Madam President, the two members that are before us for confirmation are William Gady, who is the Plainview City Council member and a retired telecommunications employee, and James Nardone, who is a retired Itasca County social worker. So I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on State and Local Government, reported January 31st, 2013, the Senate, having given its advice, do not consent to and confirm the appointment of William Gody and James Nardone to the Gambling Control Board.
On that motion, all
Madam
those
President,
in favor?
Madam President.
Senator Hand.
Just one other question. Are these members of the Gambling Control Board current members, or are they new appointments?
Senator Hand, the date that given there is July 2nd, 2012. That's when their appointments were effective, according to the motion.
Madam President.
Any other questions?
Madam Chair, Mr. William Gady is the chair, and this is his second appointment. And I believe Mr. Nardone, this is his first appointment. Oh, it's his second appointment as well.
Further discussion on the Pappas motion. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails, and the appointments are confirmed. Senator Pappas.
Madam President, I move that the report from the Committee on State and Local Government, reported January 31st, 2013, pertaining to appointments to the Board of Arts, be taken from the table.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Senator Pappas.
I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion prevails. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam President. This is the Board of Arts, and I'll just tell you briefly about the board members that are before us. Ardell Brady is the mayor of Rochester. Michael Sharon from Winona is the dean of the School of Arts for St. Mary's University. Sean Dowsey from Red Wing is executive director of the Sheldon Theater. John Gunyu from Minnetonka is the former city manager of Minnetonka and Three Rivers Park District Commissioner and a longtime arts advocate. Benjamin Klipfel is from Alexandria, and he's the executive director of Alexandria Area Arts Association and former director of the Grand Forks Community Theater. Alan McGinnis from Robbinsdale is the director of government relations at Wells Fargo and a longtime arts supporter. So I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on State and Local Government reported January 31st, 2013, the Senate, having given its advice, do not consent to and confirm the appointment of these individuals to the Board of Arts.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails and the appointments are confirmed. Senator Sharon.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the report for the Committee on Health and Human Services and Housing,
reported March 7th, 2013, pertaining to the appointment of the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency be taken from the table.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Thank you.
Those opposed, say no. The motion prevails. Senator Sharon.
Thank you. I also move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. The motion prevails. Senator Sharon.
Thank you, Madam President. I've already stood with some confirmations for the Minnesota Housing Board of Directors, so you might ask why I'm up again. This particular appointment came in a little later, so we had to take a separate action. And so I'm now moving that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Health and Human Services and Housing, reported March 7th, 2013, that the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent and confirm the appointment of Joseph B. Johnson III to the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency for a term effective January 28, 2013, and expiring on January 2, 2017.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails, and the appointment is confirmed. Senator Pappas.
I move that the report from the Committee on State and Local Government reported April 10th, 2013, pertaining to appointments to the Board of Arts be taken from the table.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion prevails. Senator Pappas.
I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Senator Pappas.
Madam President and members, this was also a person we had before our committee a little bit later. Anton Truer is the professor of Ojibwe at Bemidji State University and editor of the only Ojibwe language journal. So we're very pleased to have him also joining the Board of Arts. And I would move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on State and Local Government reported April 10th, 2013, the Senate having given its advice to now consent to and confirm the appointment of Anton Truer to the Board of the Arts.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails and the appointment is confirmed. Reverting to the fifth order of business, reports of committees. The Secretary will read the report.
It's all in a row. Senator Cohen from the Committee on Finance, to which was referred Senate File Number 712, a bill for an act relating to public safety, providing enhanced penalties for causing the death of a prosecuting attorney, reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill do pass. Senator Cohen from the Committee on Finance, to which was re-referred Senate File Number 874, a bill for an act relating to forfeiture, requiring a conviction for judicial forfeiture of property associated with controlled substance offenses and vehicles used in drive-by shootings, reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill do pass. Senator Cohen from the Committee on Finance, to which was re-referred Senate File Number 941, a bill for an act relating to human services, modifying medical assistance provisions related to quality assurance, reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill do pass. Senator Cohen from the Committee on Finance, to which was re-referred Senate File Number 647, a bill for an act relating to civil commitment, limiting the time period that a person may be held in jail or state correctional facility pending or after civil commitment, reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill be amended as follows, and when so amended, the bill do pass. Senator Cohen from the Committee on Finance, to which was re-referred, Senate File Number 654, a bill for an act relating to human services, modifying provisions related to health care and medical assistance, reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill be amended as follows, and when so amended, the bill do pass. Senator Cohen from the Committee on Finance, to which was re-referred Senate File Number 976, a bill for an act relating to public safety, reenacting an expired program authorizing the release from prison of certain nonviolent controlled substance offenders,
reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill be amended as follows, and when so amended, the bill do pass. Senator Cohen from the Committee on Finance, which was re-referred, Senate file number 347, a bill for an act relating to families, updating the Uniform Interstate Family Support Act, reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill do pass.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move that the committee reports read by the Secretary be adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. The motion prevails. Sixth order of business, the second reading of Senate bills 712, 874, 941, 647, 654, 976, and 347. Second reading. Are we on? Proceeding to the 13th order of Senate business, without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senator Sieben and Latz all day, Senator Senjum from 1:30 to 1:55, Senator Nelson and Rosen from 11 o'clock to 11:25 a.m. Announcements, other announcements of Senate interest. Senator Cohen.
Madam President, finance will meet at approximately 6 o'clock this evening.
Any other announcements of Senate interest? Senator Tomassoni.
Madam President, the Environment Economic Development Ag Division will meet in at 2:45 in room 112.
Other announcements?
Madam President.
Senator Stumpf.
Madam President, the Capital Investment Committee will meet at 3 o'clock in room 123.
Other announcements? Senator Bach.
Madam President, just an announcement on what tomorrow is going to look like. Our intent is to come in at 10 o'clock, so the majority caucus will caucus at 9, an hour before, so the plan is to not come in and get partway through the agenda and then recess. We would plan to caucus prior to the session at 10 o'clock tomorrow. Once we come in at 10, the intent would be to take up the Omnibus Health and Human Service Bill, and then, I believe the K-12 bill is first. The K-12 bill first, and then we would move right to the Health and Human Service Omnibus Bill tomorrow and try to get through both of those bills tomorrow. Madam President, one other brief announcement. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Members, I move the Senate do not adjourn until Thursday, April 25th, 10 a.m.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. The motion prevails. The Senate is adjourned.